Okay, so today I'm going to talk about GreenUp, which is a decentralized system that lets enterprise machines sleep while keeping them highly available. So enterprise networks consume about 75% of the energy of network systems, and they consist of user desktop machines. Now at night, typically two-thirds of these machines are kept on even though they're idle. So various studies have concluded that we stand to save a lot of money and energy by putting these machines to sleep. Now the problem with doing that is that employees demand remote access to these machines at will. So users want to access files or other resources, and IT administrators typically run maintenance tasks. Now, despite the advance of cloud computing and cloud resources, this still remains a very, very common scenario in big and small companies alike. So we see that there's a trade-off between saving energy on one hand by powering down machines and keeping the machines available or keeping them up. And we're going to solve both problems with a system called GreenUp. So GreenUp is based on the idea of a sleep proxy, which has been used and proposed in prior work. I'll briefly sketch this approach here. So we have a remote user that wants access to her machine at will. What we do is we add a dedicated sleep proxy server on the same subnet as the user's machine. So now when the machine goes to sleep, the sleep proxy tells the network, send all of that machine's traffic to me. Okay? In other words, it maintains the network presence of the machine, and we say that it manages the machine. So now, if the user wants to access the machine, it sends a request, and this request gets routed to the sleep proxy. The sleep proxy can then decide what it wants to do with that request. If it's an important request, like a TCP SYN to a port that the machine is listening on, it will wake up the machine using a wake on LAN packet, for example. And then the machine gets up and running. Now, in the meantime, the user's application retry logic has resent the TCP SYN, and now the machine is awake to respond to it. So if this is done right, the user notices nothing but a slight additional delay. Now, the advantages of the sleep proxy approach are that we don't need any special hardware or environmental changes to the user desktop machines, and we don't need to modify application code. But one big disadvantage is that you need a dedicated server on each of the subnets. Now, dedicated servers are a problem. If you have a large company, you have hundreds of subnets, so one server per subnet is a high deployment and management cost. And each of them becomes a single point of failure, so you need to add some backups and then some system for monitoring their liveness. So this is enough to make IT departments completely unwilling to deploy the solution. At the same time, the higher cost that you incur eats away into any savings you, or some of the savings you got from trying to go green. So our proposal is to not use dedicated servers, but have the machines themselves act as proxies. So the key idea behind GreenUp is that any machine can act as a proxy or a manager for sleeping machines in the subnet. So I'm going to tell you first how GreenUp works, and then explain what you can learn from GreenUp's techniques. And I'm going to do this by focusing on the three main techniques we use in our system. The first is a distributed management technique, which is used to detect sleeping machines and then manage them. The second is a technique called subnet state coordination, which we use to spread state throughout the subnet. And the final technique is called guardians, which we use to make sure that there are always some machines available so that our system is never completely unavailable. And then we'll look at the evaluation of GreenUp. I'll present results on an initial deployment on 100 user machines, but GreenUp is currently running on over 1,000 machines. Okay, so there are four key properties about GreenUp's environment that I want you to keep in the back of your mind as I explain its design. First, all machines are on the same subnet. So this means they have an efficient broadcast medium, which they can use to communicate or wake each other up. Second, these are user machines, so they're load sensitive because a user won't tolerate any performance degradation. They're also unreliable because the machines can go to sleep at any time. Third, we're operating within an enterprise, so we're within a single administrative domain, so we don't have to deal with issues like malicious users or incentives that other decentralized systems have to deal with. And finally, the most important thing we want to guarantee is the availability of the machines. And we can sacrifice other things as long as we make sure this holds true. I'm going to use this as a running example. Now, it's a very small example. It's not to scale. Typically, subnets in our environment have hundreds of machines or even up to 1,000. So the black machines are going to be awake machines, and gray machines are asleep. Machine M9 is a sleep machine that is not being managed or proxied by anyone yet. And machine M8 is an example of a machine that is being managed by machine M1. So the first thing you should ask when you see this is, who's going to manage M9? Okay, and this is exactly the question that our distributed management technique answers. So one approach is to have M9 send us a notification to the subnet saying, I'm about to go to sleep. Now, the reason this is problematic is because you typically don't have any guarantee on the amount of time you have before the machine goes to sleep to send this packet out. But what's more important is that what happens if machine M1 has a failure? In this case, machine M8 is abandoned, and it has no way of letting people know because it's asleep. So instead, we use a technique that probes machines repeatedly. So we randomly probe all the machines on the subnet, and we have to do this constantly because the machines can go to sleep at any time. We don't want to probe all these machines from one machine because the machines are also load sensitive. So what we're going to do is distribute the probing load over all the awake machines. A side benefit of this is that our whole probing protocol becomes more resilient to manager problems, because if some manager is having trouble, other managers will pick up the slack. So in how many machines do we probe? So one approach is to probe all the machines and divide this by the number of awake machines. Okay. Now, a given machine doesn't have to probe the machines it's already managing, right? So we can save a little here, because these machines are already being taken care of. But if you think about it, you'll realize that it's very possible for two machines to randomly probe the same machine. And any conflict means that some other machine is not being probed. So what we do is we add a small log factor here that ensures we get good coverage. By probing slightly more than a linear number of machines, we ensure that we'll cover all the machines with high probability. And we do a simple coupon collector type analysis, which gives you at the end that the probability a machine is probed is given by this variable p down there. And in our deployment, we set that p to something like 90%. Okay, so eventually, machine M9 will get managed. And in this case, machine M1 also manages it. Okay, now, one side effect of having this log factor there is that you will get some collisions. So you see here that both machine M6 and M1 are trying to probe M9. So it is possible that both decide to manage M9. Okay, but in our environment, remember, availability is the most important thing. And having multiple managers doesn't reduce the availability of machine M9. It does affect performance slightly, because what happens now is traffic might flip back and forth between machine M6 and machine M1. But so to address this, what we do is we implement a simple resolution protocol that just tells one of these machines to back off. OK, so now what happens if machine M1 itself falls asleep? Now we have three abandoned sleep machines. So the same protocol I just described, the distributed probing, will ensure that these machines are picked up by the other awake machines. If you think about it, when a machine goes to sleep, it's as if it's throwing its balls over the bins of awake machines. And we can show that this is exactly equivalent to a balls and bins process. So for example, if you started off with n machines and you shrunk the system down to n over 2 machines, the maximum load on any machine would be something like log n over 2 divided by log n over 2, which should sound familiar if you've seen a balls and bins analysis before. OK, so to summarize, distributed management is a technique for electing leaders in a robust and load-balanced way, assuming temporary conflicts are tolerable in your system. OK, now, you may have noticed that the distributed management protocol I described does rely on some amount of global state. For example, we need to know who to probe. We also need some information to know how to manage a machine. Specifically, we need to know the IP address and MAC address of every machine. This is used to maintain its network presence. We also need to know the TCP ports that are being listened on those machines. And this is used to determine when to wake the machine up. Now, there are a couple of options of how we can distribute the state. One is to use something heavyweight, like a replicated state machine. But in our environment, machines are unreliable, and they exhibit correlated sleep behavior. So this is not appropriate. We also don't need a very strongly consistent view of this state. Another option is to put all the state in an external database. But the reason we don't want to do this is because it prevents our system from being instantly deployable. We want users to just install the system and not configure anything and for it to just work. So a much simpler protocol we're going to use that exploits the subnet and our weaker consistency requirements is what we ended up going with. And this protocol works like this. It's quite simple. So periodically, machines will broadcast their state while they're awake or when it changes. In our deployment, we do this about every 5 minutes. So in this case, let's say machine M9 is awake and it broadcasts its state to everyone. Now, when M9 goes to sleep, it can rest assured that everyone on the subnet knows its information and can pick him up. Now, if you think a little bit about this, you'll realize that this is not sufficient on its own. Suppose machine M4 had just joined the network. Well, machine M4 has no way of knowing about machine M8's state, because M8 is asleep. So what we also need is for managers to rebroadcast the state of asleep machines. So in this case, machine M1 will broadcast the state of machine 8 to the entire subnet. Also, managers collaborate to ensure that they have the latest state. So if machine M2, for example, notices that I have a fresher copy of M8's state, it will tell M1, and M1 will update this. Finally, we use a daily roll call to garbage collect state. That is, every day we have all the machines wake up, and then we see who's awake and who's around, and whoever's not around, we eliminate their state. And we need to do this because it's very difficult to distinguish between a machine that has gone to sleep versus one that, you know, has just failed. Okay, so to summarize, subnet state coordination distributes per machine state on a subnet when you don't need strong consistency. Okay, now I won't have time to go into our Guardian protocol, but I'll just say a few words about it. One thing we need to make sure is that machines don't, not too many machines go to sleep in our system, because then the whole system becomes unavailable. Because sleep behavior turns out to be correlated in our environment, the way we do this is by dynamically selecting a few machines to stay awake. Okay, and this protects against the event of a simultaneous sleep. And another thing it does is it also ensures that you can cap the maximum load on every machine, because as long as you have a few machines awake, they will share the load among themselves. Okay, let's take a look at an evaluation of GreenUp. So GreenUp has been deployed in Microsoft. We built the system in C#. It's all managed code, but it does interface with a packet sniffer and a network driver to intercept client traffic. There's a client GUI that tells users, for example, how much energy they might be saving, and it makes the deployment very easy. Users just install it, and GreenUp is up and running. The current pilot we have is running on about 1,000 machines. But for the sake of this evaluation, I'm going to report results from an initial deployment on just 100 machines over a 7-month period. So the questions we're going to ask are, in some sense, the obvious ones. Does GreenUp consistently wake machines up when they're accessed? Also, does it do this in time to meet user patience? And finally, does GreenUp scale to large subnets? Okay, so to determine if GreenUp wakes machines reliably, we did the following simple test. We tried to connect to all the machines using a service that we knew they were all running. In this case, it was Samba, so TCP port 139. And we did this on 11 different days, each time trying to do it on a weekend or an evening to maximize the number of asleep machines. And of all the attempts we made, we found that 496 machines were already awake. About 278 of them were woken up successfully, and 5 were unwakeable. So if you look at the overall success rate of our ability to access machines, it's pretty high. It's something like 99.4%. Most of the failures we experienced were due to wake on LAN problems. So this is important, because this means that the availability bottleneck in our system is not us, it's wake on LAN. And in the paper, we proposed some ways to deal with the wake on LAN issues that we found. Okay, so it's one thing to wake up a machine, but it's another thing to wake it up in time so that the user doesn't get too impatient. GreenUp relies on the user to wait a little bit, because there is some delay in waking up a machine. And also, on the user's side, there is the TCP retry logic will have inherent timeouts as well. So the way it's difficult to measure user patience, but we were able to approximate it as follows. Every time a wake on LAN failure occurred, we had managers log the amount of time the user waited, basically the amount of time during which TCP retransmits kept occurring. And we were able to identify 48 of these events. So in this graph, I plot a CDF of the time the user waited. That's shown in the red line before giving up. Not surprisingly, this is kind of like a step function, because it represents the retry logic on the user's side. Now, I've overlaid on top of this the amount of time GreenUp takes to wake machines as a CDF over our entire duration of our deployment. So you see that things look pretty good, because 87% of the time, GreenUp is able to wake up machines in less than 9 seconds. If you take the convolution of these two distributions, you will find that GreenUp wakes machines before users give up about 85% of the time. This is probably as good as we can do, because 13% of the users we found gave up after 3 seconds. Okay? Now, we're not sure, but we think these are probably port scanners run by the IT department to check for vulnerabilities. Okay, now to understand the scalability of GreenUp, we need to remind ourselves where the source of load comes from. So when a manager performs its duties, it incurs some load. This is because it has to intercept traffic for the asleep machines, it has to broadcast its own state and the state of the asleep machines it's managing, and it also has to probe and respond to probes for all the machines. This load grows with the number of machines you're managing. So we plot here the CPU utilization of the machines, given the number of asleep machines they're managing. If you're managing no asleep machines, CPU utilization is less than 1%, it's very low. But the moment you start managing one machine, this jumps. And the reason this jumps is because now you have to start parsing and intercepting traffic on the network. But as you add more managed machines, 2, 3, up to 5, notice that the load on the machine grows very slowly. So it's still linear growth, but it grows very gradually. And it's never ever more than 7% in this experiment. So one thing you might notice is that I only have lines up to five managed machines. You might be asking why. And that's because in our environment, it turned out there were always a good number of awake machines. And if you combine this with the load balancing properties of distributed management, we ended up with a situation where the number of managed machines per machine was quite low. So in order to stress screen up more thoroughly, we simulated what the load would be if we were managing more machines. So this table shows the results. We ran this on a 2.4 gigahertz machine, two cores, 4 gigs of memory, and a gigabit NIC. When you're managing 100 machines, the CPU utilization is 12%. And we considered this to be an acceptable amount that users wouldn't notice or complain. But as you go higher to 200 or 300 managed asleep machines, the CPU utilization gets significant, and users might start to complain. Fortunately, we can use our Guardian protocol to ensure that there are just enough machines awake so that the maximum load per machine is about 100. And this is what we do in our deployment. OK, so one thing you might be asking is, does GreenUp help me save more energy? Energy savings depend on how often you sleep. Okay, in our system, this is what the profile looks like. This is the percent of time machines spend asleep. So you take the average of this, you find that machines sleep about 31% of the time. And you can do some simple calculations, and that'll tell you that, OK, you're saving $17.50 per machine per year. Of course, if you sleep more, you'll save more money. The problem in our department, in our environment, is that at Microsoft, the IT department enforces a sleep policy on all the users. So it's difficult to say if machines would sleep more than they normally do. Okay? But we believe that over time, the guarantees GreenUp gives you will encourage IT departments and other users to use more aggressive sleep policies. Now, before I wrap up, I want to talk about one extension which I thought was kind of neat. If you remember, when a machine goes to sleep, there's a period of unavailability before the machines are eventually picked up by the other managers. Okay? So one way to close this gap is to have a machine explicitly hand its load off to another machine at random. Now, we can't rely on this, like I mentioned earlier, but we can use it as an optimization. So this turns out to be a new kind of balls and bins process whose maximum load had not been analyzed before in the theory literature. And so we ended up analyzing this. And very recently, we were able to come up with a bound on the expected maximum load using some strangely weird techniques from population genetics and geometry. So we found that the maximum load is given by exactly this expression. It's n divided by the number of awake machines, so that's perfect load distribution, times the dth harmonic number. So you can think of that as just a logarithmic overhead. So this means that this new load transfer mechanism is only slightly worse than the balls and bins mechanism that we're currently using in our deployment. OK, the idea of sleep proxying is not a new one. It's been around for a while. In fact, it was first proposed in 1998 by Christensen and Gulledge. But recently, we've seen a rise of other systems that try to solve this problem of letting machines sleep while keeping them available. Now, the systems in green allow the systems in green are able to run more of the applications of the asleep machine while it's asleep. So they're able to save more energy in that sense. But the problem with these systems is that they have significant barriers to deployment. You need to either modify your NIC hardware or change the user desktop environment to use virtual machines or modify applications and write application stubs. These ended up being enough of a barrier that we could not deploy these kinds of solutions. And this is why we opted for a decentralized software-only solution. OK, so to conclude, well, that's what GreenUp is. It's a completely decentralized software-only sleep proxy. Its design uses distributed systems techniques, which we believe may be applicable in other settings as well. And the end result is that we're able to guarantee high availability at very low cost, even while machines sleep. Thanks.
Brian Ford, Yale. It's a nice protocol, and I, as a decentralized protocol, it certainly appeals to me a lot. But I wanted to return to one of your very first points, the kind of obvious alternative of just having centralized servers. You mentioned you would need one server per subnet. Wouldn't it be easier just to have one server with a single VLAN tagged link to the switch that virtually connects to all the subnets you need to run the? Is there a reason that is?
I think this was a situation in our environment where we found that the way the subnets are set up, they're set up as separate subnets, and there are hundreds of them. If you were able to change your entire architecture to use, let's say, a common VLAN or a few very large VLANs, and then tolerate the overhead of spreading these broadcast packets throughout that network, that would be a possibility. But this wasn't feasible or practical in our environment.
I want to ask Dave Anderson, Carnegie Mellon. I'm going to ask the same question, but less politely.
Okay.
I know you can handle it. Which is that it feels like you brought in kind of a NASA quality construction crew to build a little hill of sand. There's this amazing complexity, and I appreciate that you were operating within all sorts of horrific constraints. But if someone gave you godlike powers and said, uh-huh. you may go change the operating system, and you can change the network, and you can do something that is
what would I do?
What would you actually do if you could do what you really wanted?
So, okay, I'll stress that this kind of is a reality, right, in a lot of companies. But if I could do anything...
It sounds like a reality that sucks, though.
What? It's not a great reality, but it's the way most companies will run or use their desktop machines, right? But if I could do anything, I think I like some of the approaches that virtualize the desktop environments and migrate them back and forth, because then you can have these virtual machines running on dedicated servers separately and maintaining all the connections and everything that's going on, and then send them back to the user client machines when they are active again. This has some problems of its own, but I think there have been recent proposals that are eating away at the cost of migrating these VMs back and forth by doing things like only migrating the working set, let's say. I think these approaches are typically more relevant in cloud networks, but they're starting to be used in these kinds of networks as well.
Thank you.
Ted Wobber, Microsoft. Knowing Microsoft's sleep policies and how draconian they are, 31% seems very low to me.
Yeah.
Did you find that perhaps this new mechanism has enabled your machines to be woken up more frequently than you really wanted them to be woken up?
So that's a good question. There have been some studies before that explored this space of how do we minimize the amount of times we wake up the machines. And what they found was the thing you want to do is look at these TCP ports that they're actively listening on and ignore most of the other traffic. So we ignore a lot of traffic. This was actually done in prior work. We toss out all kinds of broadcast, multicast traffic, any unicast traffic that's not targeted at ports that are listening on. And I think at the end of the day, we're able to reduce the amount of traffic so that we're only waking up these machines when they need to be woken up. But there's a paper at Usenix that probably gives you a more detailed answer as to how often machines wake up when they shouldn't be. And at Microsoft, the major problem actually are the IT department's routine maintenance.
Well, that's sort of what I mean.
Yeah. So those do wake up machines more than we would like. So it would require some kind of change in that kind of policy to reduce the amount of times machines are woken up.
Hi, Ubaid Amin, Yale University. Have you guys ever considered about the security issues?
That was my one bullet point that eradicated all that worry, right? That we're in a single administrative domain. Some people, are you talking about the fact that I'm... redirecting traffic?
Other than this, like if the whole
I don't think this is a really big deal in this kind of network. I mean, this is exactly what happens when you unplug a machine and plug it in somewhere else. I mean, the spanning tree is getting reprogrammed as you move machines around. And machines are moved around more often than you would think in office environments. So I don't think this is that big a deal. But I do think it could be an issue if you weren't operating within an enterprise network like a company.
Like for a big network, like if a person is redirecting traffic to some other nodes,
right.
And I'm not like we are supposed to redirect the traffic. Like for example, if the manager is malicious or something like this.
Is malicious? Yeah, I see your point, but I don't think we have to worry about malicious machines in our network.
And the second thing I've actually briefly seen in your paper as well, like if the whole communication is encrypted, how do you handle that thing?
Okay. So most of the remote accesses and TCP SYNs that come in will be in the clear because they're coming remotely. There are some technologies where there will be a proxy in the middle that might encrypt everything, and you can't see the TCP SYN. So this prevents us from being able to wake up a machine when we need to. But we are working on some workarounds to do that. Things like monitoring when key exchanges occur. So this is some ongoing work we are doing. So I'm glad you asked that. But I think the only foolproof way to handle that would be to completely virtualize the user environment.
All right, thanks.
Aaron Gember, University of Wisconsin. Certainly in a home network, you're not facing some of the scale issues you have here, but it seems like this could be really useful, but you'll get new challenges like, or perhaps new opportunities. You have a router that's usually probably always on and mobile devices that may be part of that network. Have you thought at all about how you could extend this and what new things might arise if you were to put something like this in a home network?
I think that in a home network, to me, the main reason why I might not use this is just the number of devices that I have. I think that one of the things we need to do, our Guardian protocol, is to make sure that a certain number of machines stay awake. It's usually a small number, like two or three, to make sure that the system is always available. Now, in a home network, this might be the totality of the number of devices you have, or not. I mean, things are increasing. But I think I do believe that a similar solution or techniques would work in that environment, even though we didn't design it with that environment in mind.